Okay, good morning. Today we have the privilege of starting a new Masechta, Masechet Sanhedrin. And obviously, the tractate Sanhedrin belongs in this order, the order of Nezikin, of damages, because after Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra, which is so many discussions of different types of monetary law, returning lost objects, claims, counterclaims, documents, inheritance, neighborly relations, damages. That's all what the law is. Now we have to learn how the law gets applied. First we learn what the law is. Now we learn how to apply the law. So this Masechta deals with judges, and courts, and witnesses, and many other things that come connected to that. What's the meaning of the word Sanhedrin? Where does it come from? So here there are two classical explanations. The Aruch, who was one of the Rishonim, one of the early authorities, explains that the word Sanhedrin is a Greek word. It means in Greek, a gathering of elders, elders of a town, elders of a country. So it's interesting that the word for the highest court, Sanhedrin, is a Greek word. However, Rav Avadmi Bar Tanura suggests that maybe it's actually a Hebrew word. We know in Hebrew there's something called nutrikon. Sometimes you have a combination of a phrase, three or four words, where the key syllables of those words get pulled out and turned into one word. So Rashi Tevot, like the first letters of the words get pulled together. So he suggests, Rabbi Avadmi Bar Tanura says that the word Sanhedrin actually is a nutrikon. It stands for the phrase Son'ei Hadarat Panim Badin. So what's that a reference to? The Torah says that a judge is not allowed to show any favor. That Lo Sakiru Panim Bamishpat, don't show any favor. A judge has to be impartial. He can't be nicer to someone because he's poor, or nicer to someone because they're rich, nicer to someone because he's a friend. The judge has to apply blind justice. What is the law? And apply the law. So that phrase, to hate showing favor in court, sonei hadarat panim badin, that becomes Sanhedrin, because the key syllables of that phrase, sonei, becomes san, hadarat is hadar, sanhed, and then it bedin becomes din. Sanhedrin is actually from that phrase, sonei hadarat panim badin. These are people who hate showing favor in court. They want to apply justice blindly. Hence, they are called Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin means that they are very fair in their application of justice. So this is the tractate of judges, the tractate of applying justice. And the first Mishnah is going to go through many, many areas of Jewish law, and point out that there are different areas will require a quorum of judges. Some areas of Jewish law only need three judges. We'll see in the Gemara that there are even some areas of Jewish law that only require one judge. And there are areas of Jewish law that will require five judges. Other areas will require seven judges. Then there are areas that require 23 judges. And finally, areas that require 71 judges. Typically, there were three types of courts. There's the highest court, the 71 judges, the Sanhedrin HaGadol, that would sit in one of the chambers of the Beis HaMikdash, Lishkas HaGazis, the chamber of cut stone. And that was the highest court. Then you had in every tribe a court of 23 judges. Actually, every city had a court of 23 judges. And then there were these smaller groups of three judges. But we'll see, all of that's going to become clear as we go through the Masechta. So let's begin the Mishnah. The first point, again, we're talking about different issues of law and how many judges we need for each issue. Number one, dine mamonos, issues of monetary law, bishlosha, need three judges. What is dine mamonos bishlosha? The Gemara will explain, Rashi says. So we'll see. But monetary issues, three judges. Next, gzelos v'chavalos, an issue of a theft or a person damaging another person. So now there are all sorts of types of theft. Gzela, the classical case of gzela, Rashi explains, is twofold. It could either be a bandit who steals something from me in the street. I'm walking with something and a guy shows up with his spear and he says, you better hand over that nice wallet of yours or I'm going to attack you. That would be gzela. Another case of gzela would be if I give a shomer, I give a watchman, an object to watch. I come back a month later, okay, give me back my antique radio. And he says, I never saw you. I claim, well, you must be using it, and now you've ruined it. You don't want to give it back to me. You don't want to repay me. That's also gzela. That's called shalach bo yad, shlichus yad, whether the watchman has used the item deposited in his care. So if I claim that somebody stole from me, and that guy denies it, I claim that this watchman abused the items that I gave him to watch, and he denies it. So this type of a dispute has to be resolved by three judges. All right, another, or chavala. I claim somebody hit me, and he owes me the five penalties, namely damage, and pain, and humiliation, and lost wages, and doctor bills. Again, that's an issue that is to be resolved by three judges. Next issue, nezek, the idea of paying damages. If, let's say, an ox damages another ox, or even a person who damages somebody or something. Chatzi nezek, the concept of paying half damages. The Torah teaches that the first three times an ox damages, they only pay half the cost. That's called tam. Only after it damaged three times does it become mu'ad, does it become habituated and expected that if it damages, it has to pay full damage. So if there's a question about a half damage, so again, that has to be resolved by a court of three. Tashlume kefel, fines. There are all sorts of fines that the Torah has legislated that really, from logic, I wouldn't say that you'd have to pay this amount, but the Torah created a fine to punish a certain sinner. So let's say a guy is a burglar. He goes into a house and he steals something and he slips away under the cover of night. So then if witnesses come and they testify about what he did, the court will make him pay double. He has to pay for the item and another amount, a double amount. He has to pay a double fine. So fines are also to be imposed by three judges, and certainly they have to be imposed by judges who are experts. That's a very important point. There are two types of judges. There are judges that are not experts, they're just three people, hedyotot, simple people. And then you have judges that are really experts. The experts are people who have smicha. Smicha is the chain of tradition going back to Yehoshua. We learned in last week's parsha that Moshe said to Hashem, all right, who's going to take over the Jewish people? Hashem says, Yehoshua will. Put your hands on Yehoshua and ordain him. You have to put your hands on him and make him the leader after you. So basically, Moshe put his hands on Yehoshua and he vouched. Yehoshua is an expert. So ever since then, there was a tradition that went on until around the year, let's say 320 or so, it's when it stopped. But there was a tradition of smicha, of sages who would train students until they were sure that these students were real experts. And then they would say, okay, we are ordaining these students that they are worthy continuations of the chain that goes back to what Moshe did for Yehoshua. So a issue of fines, like paying double, that only can be extracted by judges who are musmachim, who have smicha. Another fine, tashlume arba v'chamisha. If a burglar steals a sheep or a cow and then slaughters the sheep or cow, or sells the sheep or cow, so he has to pay an extra fine. So he pays the item that he stole, a second amount, which is double. And then if it was a cow, he'd have to pay another two amounts, so a total of four times. And if it was a sheep, he has to pay three times. So he'll end up paying, he'll spend another three times, a sheep two times, so it'll end up being four or five times. So all of these are issues that require bishlosha, three judges. So again, so far we've seen three sets
of issues that require three judges: Dine Mamonos, monetary law; Gzela v'chavala, open theft and damage from one person to another. Then we saw damage from an animal, half damage, double payments, and four or five time payments. All of these are issues to be resolved by three judges. Another issue that will require three judges: Haones, a man who rapes a virgin. So the Torah says he pays a fine of 50 shekel kesef. Hamafate, a person who seduces a virgin and her father refuses for her to marry him. So then he has to pay a fine of 100 shekel kesef. Vamotzi shemra. If someone, remember, in the times of the Talmud, marriage had two parts. First there was kiddushin, betrothal, which was marriage. And then a year later, after the husband put together the house, they would have nisuin. They would actually fully marry and move in together. So what happens if a man has had kiddushin with a woman, and now they have the nisuin? The day after the nisuin, he comes with a complaint. He says, you know what, I married a girl who was a virgin. Then I discover the night that we're together that there was no bleeding from her. There was no blood of virginity. So must be that she was disloyal. Must be that during this period that she was mikudeshet, she had an affair with somebody else. So basically, he's accusing her of a capital crime, of being a married woman who slept with someone. So that's the case of Motzi Shemra. He creates a claim. So the Torah says that it has to be judged. And if he's lying, so he has to pay a fine. If he's not lying, obviously she loses her ksuba. She gets thrown out. She may even be deserving of a severe penalty if there were witnesses. So Motzi Shemra, these claims that he claims, I didn't find bisulim to my wife, this shlosha, that has to be resolved by three judges. Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the review of Rabbi Meir. But the Chacham say, no, Motzi Shemra has to be resolved by 23 judges. Because really, that could be an issue of life and death. Because if, in fact, his claim is right, that after he betrothed her, after he married her, she went and she had an affair, so that's a capital claim. That's an issue of life and death. A married woman who sleeps with a man outside of her husband deserves to be stoned to death if she's a So it's a question of life and death, so that requires 23 judges.
Rape here is just rape during kizushin or any kind of...
No, they weren't married to each other. He raped a virgin. Next. So now we have another set of laws. Makos. Laws of lashes. We know that the Torah says in Parshas Ki Tse that if a man commits a sin, then he deserves to be hit 40 times. Or Mara says it doesn't really mean 40, it really means 39 times. But that's the law of lashes, malkos, and that is any sin like the sin of chasima, like the sin of not plowing with an animal that's muzzled, or not plowing with an ox and a donkey together. In other words, if the sin has an act, so then violation of that sin, namely an act that violates a pasuk, can get the punishment of lashes. Like all punishments, that means that witnesses have to come and they have to warn the person. The guy has his ox and donkey saddled up. He's about to pull the plow with them. The witnesses say, hey, you can't do that. The Torah says, lo sachsom lo sachrosh b'shor v'chamor yachdav. You're not allowed to plow with the donkey and ox together. And this is the pasuk. And if you do it, the cord is going to hit you 39 times. And he says, I don't care. I want to be hit. I don't care what you do to me. I'm doing it anyway. I have my Yetzer Hara. I'm listening. And then he goes and he does it. So then, in fact, these witnesses will haul him into the court. The judges will investigate the witnesses. And if it sounds credible, so yeah, they're going to convict him, and they will give him 39 lashes. So how many judges? So the Mishnah says it's three judges. However, Rabbi Yishmael says, Esrim v'shlosha, it's not three judges. It's 23 judges that we need to resolve an issue of lashes. Because again, like the case of Motzi Shemra, lashes can get to pretty close to death. To beat somebody up almost to the point of death 39 times, it's not so easy to take it. So therefore, that's only 23 judges that can impose those types of penalties, and not three. Ooh. All right, next issue. Ibur HaChodesh, to accept the testimony of witnesses, to cross-examine them, and thereby make it Rosh Chodesh, whether Rosh Chodesh is on day 30 or Rosh Chodesh is on day 31, whether the month is going to have 29 days if Rosh Chodesh is day 30, or the month will have 30 days if Rosh Chodesh is day 31. The Shlosha, again, we need three judges to do that. Ibur Hashana, to decide whether to add another month. We know that we want to synthesize the solar seasons with the lunar calendar. So we want the month of Nisan to be Chag Ha'aviv, a holiday of springtime. But meanwhile, the lunar calendar only has 354 days, 52 weeks, whereas the solar calendar has 365 days. So over the course of 3 years, you're 33 days behind. So periodically, we're going to fall behind, and Nisan's going to slink into times of February, January, so that you're not going to be in the springtime. So we have to add a month to push the to push Nisan together with springtime. So those deliberations, do we need to add a month this year? Can we wait next year? So those deliberations and decisions, again, Bishlosha is done by three judges, Divrei Rabbi Meir, Kohen Rabbi Meir, Shimon Gamliel Omer, Bishlosha Matchilim. It start with three judges to ask, you know, do we need to investigate this year? Let's say if two people say we don't need to even explore it, and one of the judges says we do, so that's it, we stop it. But if two say we do need to examine this year to possibly add a month, and one says we don't, so then they add another two. Uvachamisha, Nosim, and Nosim. They have a total of five discussing whether or not they should add the month. So that if that gets, if three of them say yes, we should add the month, and two say not, so we add another two, v'gomer b'shiva. In total, we have seven to make the final vote to add or not to add an extra month. However, im gomru b'shlosha, if they didn't go up to seven, they only ended with three the way they began, and the three, out of the three, the majority vote that we should add a month. Mu'beres, the month is added, and we end up with 13 months.
Is the Mishnah saying that?
What's the question, Baruch?
We start with three judges, we go to seven judges, go back again to three judges?
No. According to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, according to Rabbi Meir, it's only three judges to add a month to a year.
Right.
According to Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, we start with three, move up to five, end up with seven. And if you didn't do that, you just were with three. Like the view of Rabbi Meir, it also works. But the way it should happen is three to five to seven. But really, it should end up with seven.
That's a halakha, Rabbi?
Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. That's his view.
So the seven are the final decision.
On adding the month to the year.
But he could go higher court, go to five or seven. Is that right?
No, he's saying that the question of adding a month to the year should always go from three to five to seven. To open the case is a question for three. To deliberate on the case is a question for five. To decide the case is a question for seven.
Okay.
Whether or not they decided in favor or against.
That's correct.
Okay. And the first three are part of the five?
Yes, yeah. You just add another two, then add another two. One second, Lloyd has a question?
Yeah, but I'm saying if the first three agree, then you don't have to go to seven.
Then you may not, that's right. You already have a decision.
So it's not automatic. You don't have to go to three to five to seven. If yeah. Three agree,
that's right,
stop,
yeah. No? That's right.
When they do deliberation, Rabbi, the fourth judge is sitting there? Not
yes. No, he says his point of view.
Oh, he says his point of view.
That's right. Some more issues. Smichas Sakenim. What happens if the court makes the wrong ruling? This is another tractate Horios. What happens if the court says that a certain fat in an animal is kosher, and then everybody listens. Most Jews are eating this fat, and they say, "Well, we were wrong. It was actually prohibited. It's chalev." So they have to bring a carbon called par ha'alem davar shel tzibur, the ox for the community missing out on something. So the sages have to lean on this animal, and then it gets offered. So, how many sages? Arifas Egla. If we find a dead carcass, a dead body of a person near a city, so the sages of that city have to come out, and they have to do a whole ceremony in a valley with a calf, where the calf's head is chopped off, and the sages claim that the people of this city treated the guests well, they're not guilty. How many sages? Again, Bishlosha, Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says three. Rabbi Yehuda Amar B'chamisha. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, these are issues that need five. Okay, if a man is married and he dies without children, his wife is now linked to his brother, that's called Zika. The brother can marry her, that would be Yibum. If they don't want to marry, so then there is the ceremony of Chalitza. She has to remove his shoe in front of a court, she has to spit at him. The whole crowd has to claim this is a house, this is a man who's refusing to build the house of his brother. And then she can go and marry other people. So Chalitza, that has to be performed in front of a court. How big of a court? Ha-mi'unin. Mi'unin is a rabbinic form of dissolving a marriage. Biblically, a minor can be married off by her father. What happens if the father died? So she's an orphan. What happens if the father married her off, but then her husband divorced her, or her husband died? So the father doesn't have a second chance of marrying her off. So then there's a rabbinic form of marriage, which can be done by her mother or brother. They can marry her off, but the rabbis also said that she can exit that marriage through a ceremony called mi'un. Mi'un also, she goes in front of a court. She says to the husband, I don't want to be with you, I'm out. And that's it, she's out, the marriage is done. So mi'unin bishlosha. She can only do it when she's a minor. So mi'unin, that also has to happen in front of a court of three. So chalitza is in front of a court of three, and mi'un is in front of a court of three. All right, another issue. We know that the first 3 years of a fruit tree, we cannot eat the fruit. It's arla. It has to be destroyed. It's aser ba'ana. We can't get benefit. The fourth year, we're supposed to bring the fruit to Jerusalem and eat it in Jerusalem. And if it's too much fruit or we don't want to bring it to Jerusalem, we can remove the sanctity off of the fruit and invest the sanctity into coins. Then bring the coins to Jerusalem and eat their and use them in Jerusalem to buy food and eat their value in Jerusalem. Let's say, I don't know how much this fruit is worth. So that question of neta revai, of how to redeem fruit because I don't know how much it's worth, or maaser sheni, or produce that I had to separate, 10% that I'm supposed to bring up to Jerusalem and eat in Jerusalem, and I want to redeem it, but I don't know how much it's worth. Shein dam of yiduin, if we don't know the value, so we need to bring in a court to assess the value, and then remove the value off of the fruits onto coins. So now, if I don't know what the value is, I need to bring in experts to help me assess the value. Bishlosha, three experts who help me make the assessment of value.
Three experts, not three judges.
Yeah, well, the judges are the experts, yeah.
But don't you need appraisal for that?
Yeah, so that's good. The judges are the appraisers. They have to know. As we're going to see, the judges have to be very educated. Yeah, question.
Well, I understand going before the judges, but isn't it like supplying them in? Isn't it, what are you really going to get for it?
Yeah.
Sell it?
Well, let's say the fruits have rotted. It's hard to know what the price would be. So we really need experts to tell us.
If the judges say it's worth 10 shekels... And
no, they are appraisers. They have to know. They have to know what you would get. They would have to know, exactly. Another issue of appraisal. Ha-hekdeshos. Let's say a person consecrated an item, he dedicated it to Hekdesh, and he now wants to remove the sanctity, to use the item, put the sanctity on coins, and bring the coins to Hekdesh. So Bishlosha, he needs three appraisers to tell us how much it's worth. Ha-arachin, ha-mitaltalin. Let's say a person made a pledge. We know in Parshas Bechukosai, the Torah says there are all sorts of pledges based on the age of a person. So a person who says, Erki Alai, and he's, let's say, 25, so he has to give 50 shekel. Let's say he doesn't have 50 shekel. So instead he wants to give a bunch of pieces of furniture. So how do we assess those pieces of furniture? So then, Bishlosha, again, we need three appraisers. Rabbi Yehuda says, Echaman Kohen, one of those appraisers has to be a Kohen when we are trying to fulfill the vow of an Erech. Vakarkaos, let's say a person dedicated a piece of land
he consecrated a piece of land to Hektesh, and now he wants to redeem it and bring up the coins to Yerushalayim. So we have to assess how much it's worth. So again, Tisha, we need 9 people plus another Kohen, so a total of 10. For Adam Kiyotzeben, the same is true when we're trying to appraise the value of a person. A person who says, Dami Alai, my value is the gift to the temple trust. How much is he worth? How much would he go for in the slave market? So we need to bring 10 to assess the value. All right. Now, all of this was less than 23. Now we move on to the courts of 23. Dini Nefashos, questions of life and death. Issues that, sins that carry with them the death penalty. Whether or not to carry out the death penalty. Be'asim v'shlosha, that has to come before a court of 23 judges. So some examples, haroveya, an animal that had marital relations with a woman. V'hanirva, or a man that had, a man who had marital relations with the animal. So the animal that had marital relations with the man. Be'asim v'shlosha, these are questions that are brought before 23 judges, even the animals. The fate of the animal has to come before the 23 judges. Shenamar, because the Torah says, Varakta esa isha, you shall kill the woman, ve'esa behima, and the animal. So the animal is compared and linked to the woman. So just like the woman has to be judged by a court of 23, the animal, in this case, also gets judged by the court of 23. For Omer, the Pasuk says, ve'esa behima ta'arogu, and kill the animal who was with the man, where the man had relations with the female animal. Another example of animals that need a court of 23. Shor niskal, an animal, an ox that kills a person. So it has to be judged, and it's stoned to death. So it has to be judged by a court of 23. Shenamar, because the pasuk says, Hashor yisakel, the ox shall be stoned, the gamba love you must, and also its owner shall die. So by linking the death of owner with the death of the ox, it's saying, kemisas bailim, kach misas hashor. The same way a person dies, namely in front of a court of 23, so too, the ox that kills dies with a court case in front of a court of 23. Some more cases of animals that have to be put to death. Hazaev, a wolf. Vahari, a lion. Hadov, a bear. Hanamer, how do you translate Namer? I think a panther. They say a leopard. A bardalas is a cheetah. Anachash and a snake. Misasa and miyasim vishlosha. So these are things that we assume are going to kill. So we first have to have a court case in front of 23 judges about them and then kill them. However, Belezer Omer, no. Kolakodim lahargan zacha. You don't have to go to a court case. These are current and present dangers. So just kill them without even taking them to court. Rabbi Akiva says, Misasim v'esim v'shlosha, they die in front of 23. Yeah, you bring the cheetah to the court. You have to get the exterminator to catch it and then bring it to the court, and the court investigates and says, yeah, okay, it's got to be killed. It's a danger.
Are there any restrictions on the animal?
No, you can't eat it. It becomes prohibited. You can't get any benefit. All right, now we move on to the issues of the highest court, the judges, the 71 judges. Ain done in Loes HaShevet. We cannot judge a tribe to examine whether they worshipped idols. The Loes Nevi HaSheker, nor a false prophet. The Loes Kohen Gadol, nor a high priest. For any of his issues, El Alpi Bezin Shel Shivim VeEchad, except with the court of 71.
But the tribe, they're talking about excommunicating them potentially if they were all worshiping.
No, they get punished. They have to bring certain carbon. They have to be killed or carbonos if they did it on purpose by mistake.
Rabbi, when it says 23 judges, that means 12 out of 15 have to agree?
We'll see at the very end of the Mishnah. It depends. To acquit, it's 12 out of 13, 12 out of the 23. Okay. To convict, it has to be at least a majority of 2, so it would have to be 13 out of the 23.
Right.
Wow. Other issues where we need 71. Ve'en motzin l'molchemes ha'rishus, LLP bezin shel shivim v'yechad. We can't take people out to an optional war. Most wars are optional wars. The two wars that are mitzvah wars are the war to liberate the land of Israel from the seven nations and the war against Amalek. So, but to go out to an optional war, Then we have to have the Council of the 71. We also need, we're going to need other things too. We're going to need to ask of Hashem, the Urim V'Tumim, asking the Kohen Gadol. But we're going to need the Council of 71. And Mosifan Aloir V'Alazarot. We cannot add to Jerusalem or to the size of the temple, the courtyards of the temple, LLP Bezin Shal Shifan V'Echad, unless it's done by the court of 71 judges. In fact, Rav Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky points out in his book, Yerakodesh VaMikdash, that it only happened once in Jewish history that there was an addition to the city of Jerusalem. Originally, Jerusalem was in the days of King Chizkiyahu. Initially, Jerusalem, as we know, is actually not where it is now, where we have now the old city of Jerusalem. That's the Turkish wall. The original Davidic city of Jerusalem is south of the Temple Mount. It's all the slope going down, what's called the city of Silwan. And then Chizkiyahu once added some of that area up on top. So that was done by 71, by the highest court, by the 71 judges. Ein osen sanedrios l'shvatim. We can't appoint a court of 23 for each tribe, LLP Bezin Shal Shivim V'Echad, unless it's done by the court of 71. Ein osen ir nidachas. We cannot convict a city that the majority have been worshipping idols and the city has to be wiped out. LLP Bezdin Shal Shivim V'Echad, except if it's done by the court of 71. Ein osen ir nidachas besfar. We never will make a city, an idolatrous city, if it's on the border, because then if we destroy the city, it'll make it dangerous. V'lo shalosh, and we don't make three cities in a row into Areni Dachas. Avalos and Achas, we can make one city into an Areni Dachas, Oshtayim, or two next to each other. Sanhedrin Gedola Haisa Shel Shivim V'Echa. The highest court, the big court, that was the court of the 71 judges. Uktana, and a smaller court, Ishel Esen V'Shlosha, is 23 judges. Minayin L'Gedola Shehi Shel Shivim V'Echa. What's the source of the Pasuk? That the highest court is 71 judges. Shenamar, because the Pasuk says that Moshe was complaining, where am I going to find meat for the people? I can't deal with these people. I can't take care of them. So God says, Es for Yishivim Ishmi Ziknei Yisrael, gather for me 70 elders from the elders of Israel. So you have 70 elders that Moshe gathers, and Moshe al Gaben, and Moshe on top. So 70 plus 1 is 71. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no, really it's only Shivim. Moshe didn't count. It's only 70 judges in the highest court. How do we know that a smaller court is 23 judges? So the Gemara says again, it's Psukim. Shenamar, because the Pasuk says, Vishaftu ha'eda, and the eda, the community, shall judge, shall convict, v'hitzilu ha'eda, and the community shall save. That means you have to have a whole community that's voting guilty, and a whole community that's voting innocent. So what is a community? Eda shofetes veda matzelas. A whole community is convicting, a whole community is saving. So that's a total of 20. Hare kanesim, that's 20. Why? Because u'minayin le'eda shi'asara. How do we know the community is 10? Shenamar, as we have in Parashat Shlach. How many spies were sent to the land of Israel? 12. How many of them spoke ill of the land of Israel?
10.
Because two, Yoshua and Kalev, spoke positively of the land of Israel. And God says that those two will enter the land of Israel and get a portion. But 10 spoke negatively. And at one point, God says, Ad Masai Laidarazos, how long will I keep this bad community? So Yatsu Yoshua and Kalev, that excludes Yoshua and Kalev. So how many is the bad community? 10. So one pasuk says a community convicts. That means 10 convict. Another pasuk says a community acquits. That means 10 acquits. That means that a court has to have at least 20. Now, minayin lavi od shlosha, how do you get another 3 from 20 to 23? So mimashlan, that's from other verses. Shenamar, since it says, lo siyach rabim l'ra'os, do not follow a small majority to convict. Shomei anisha eye imayim l'tova, that means I do follow a small majority to acquit. That means 11 to 10, that's fine. That means at least 21. Imkein lama namer, but if that's the case, why does the Torah say, achwei rabim lahatos? You have to follow the majority in all cases. I don't understand. I don't follow the majority to convict. So it means like this, lo katayascha letova. You don't follow a small majority to convict. It's not the way you tilt for good, the way you tilt for bad. In other words, if you want to acquit and you want to decide and determine on the side of good, if there's a majority of one, you can already acquit. So therefore, if there's a vote of 12 to 1, innocent, he's innocent. But if you want to convict, then it can't be 12 to 1 to convict. If it's 12 to 1, he's still innocent. It has to be at least a super majority, relatively. It's got to be at least 12 to 10. So that means we have to get to 22. In order to have the option of convicting, we need 22. We need 10 who will say yes, 10 who will say no. And we have to have at least a majority of 2. So that means 22. But now, in Beis Din Shakel, you can't have a court that could possibly deadlock. If you have 22, you could have 11 against 11. A court has to be something that will come to a decision. 11 against 11 could be no decision. So therefore, Mosifin Lein Od Echad. You have to add another one. Harekan Esen Vishlosha. That means a total of 23. The Kama Yehba Irute Ruil Sanhedrin. How many people have to live in a city that the city is big enough to be able to have a court of 23? So the first opinion is Me'a Ve'eshim, 120 residents. Rabbi Nachman says, Masai Mushloshim, 230 residents, Keneged Sarei Asarot, because Moshe Rabbeinu was told to appoint leaders over 10. So a judge for every 10. So if there are 230 residents and there are 23 judges, that means each judge is a judge over 10. And you never find a leadership position on less than 10.
Rabbi, do we require a majority in all of these cases, or just can it tilt by one vote? Does it have to be in case of three? Does two have to vote one way in case of
two against 20? One would work. That's why you have three.
Right. Okay. So what? So the 23, would it have to be
23 to convict? Needs to have at least two more than the side acquitting.
So 20. Okay. So
right. You end up. You never having two more. You end up having three more.
23 to 0,
23 to 0 also is innocent, that's right.
Why didn't you need three more? In this
you end up having three more, because if you need to have just the math,
right?
Because if you have 11 right. acquitting, then you only have a majority of one.
Right, out of 23. And that would not go.
That doesn't commit.
So you have to have a majority of plus what?
You have to have at least two more than the side acquitting in order to convict.
So it becomes always three.
Mm-hmm.
So 12 to 11 would not convict.
12 to 11 doesn't 13. Convict, but it can acquit.
That's right.
All these things were initiated by Moshe's father-in-law, right?
He starts. All right, let's go to the...
What do you do when you have 22, 23, and you have 11 and 12? There's no majority.
If you can't convict, you can't convict. You acquit.
Then it's an acquittal.
Yeah.
Do they have no decision?
No, you keep adding judges. If somebody says, I don't know, then you add more judges. Okay. All right, next, the Gemara says, going to the Mishnah, lists all sorts of cases that need three judges. So it started off with Dine Mamonos, monetary law, and then it's a Gzelos V'Chavalos, an argument over a theft or an argument over a person damaging someone else. I don't understand that to Gzelos V'Chavalos, Lav Dine Mamonos, Ninu, that's monetary law. So Amar Rabavo explained, Mahin Katani, the Mishnah is explaining what is the definition of monetary law. Mahin dine mamonos, what are monetary law that need three judges? Gzelos v'chavalos, an argument over a theft, an argument over a person damaging someone else. Aval hodos v'halvos, but an argument over a loan, namely, I say he owes me money, and the court says, okay, prove it, I bring in a document, we start discussing whether the document is real. Or I say he owes me money, they say, prove it, I say, well, he admitted to me that he owes me money. So we start to, discuss whether or not he admitted. So lo, that is not included in the rule of Dine Mamonos Bishlosha Utsricha. So the Gemara says, I have to explain it, it has to be expressed in this way. Ditana had the Mishnah said, Dine Mamonos, monetary law is three. Avamina would have thought, Afilo dos valvos, even questions about admitting, questions about a loan have to be three. Tana Gzelos v'chavalos, that's why it then explains theft and damage. V'tanik zelos v'chavalos. And if it would have said thefts and damage have to be three, v'lo katani dini mamonos, and it wouldn't have said the key phrase, monetary law is three, havamina would have thought, u'adin, the same way theft questions are three, also dos valvos, also a question about whether or not someone admitted to a loan or whether or not someone made a loan, have to be three. V'adiktanik zelos v'chavalos, and the reason why it mentions thefts and damages is Mishum Diyikr Shlosha Diksivi Bigzelis V'chavalos Ksivi. The whole concept of three expert judges is mentioned in the Torah in regards to theft and damage. Diksiv, because the Torah says in regards to watchmen, the Nikra Bala Bayis Elo Elohim, the person who's watching the object should be brought in front of the heavenly body. The heavenly body is a reference to a judge who is an expert. So Chavalos, and in that damages should have to be in front of three expert judges, because once theft is in front of three expert judges, so mali chaval begufo, mali chaval bimamono. What is theft? Theft is damaging his money. So damaging his person should also be in front of three expert judges. I would have thought that the reason why it says theft and damages is because that's where the source is, but it really applies to questions of loans and admitting also. So Tana, that's what Tana had to explain. No. Mahein dine mamonos. What is the definition of a monetary law that needs three judges? Gzelos v'chavalos. Only theft and damage questions. Aval hodos v'halvos. But questions of admitting or a loan, lo, do not need three. So you might say, what do you mean they don't need three? Lamai, in what sense do they not need three? Ilema dublo being on shlosha, they don't need three judges. You can only have a single judge or two judges. That's not so. V'amar b'vo revo set shnayim shadanu dine mamonos. If two people judge a monetary issue of a loan, l'divrei hakolin dine amdin. Everybody agrees it's not a case. It's not a lasting decision. So what does it mean that they're not included in the Mishnah? It means like this: d'lo ba'inan mumchin. You don't need experts on a question of a loan. A question of a loan, whether or not it happened, three simple individuals can decide as well. So now the Gemara is going to say, you know, how do you know that? What's the source to make such a distinction between a question of hodos v'halvos, that you say three simple individuals can decide, and a question of gzelos v'chavalos, theft and damage, that you say only three experts can decide. Okay, we'll stop here. Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha Omer.